Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Should we take a seat?
We should. Let's
so
do
good.
That.
All right, you ready for us? Hey, how many of you are part of a Connect group? Hey, if you're not part of a Connect group, make sure that you get into a Connect group. For those of you
Amen.
That are online, we have Zoom Connects for our online campus. And for those of you that were at Connect group this week, I don't know if you went to Connect group, you would have seen that we started the conversation about wholeness. And that's something that we're particularly passionate about. And, you know, that's an area that is a part of a Christian journey that we think is so essential to being the best that person that God has actually created for you to be. And so this biblical idea of wholeness is that we would actually live completely integrated in terms of our life and our words and our actions, and to have that life consistent with the beliefs that we receive from Jesus. But how many of you know that we don't always live like that? The person we want to be, who God's called us to be, isn't always the way that we would live and respond and behave. And for us, wholeness is so critical to living the life God has actually created for us to live here on earth. And so for disciples, to be whole is the goal.
Yes.
Turn to someone and say, to be whole
is the goal.
And so the Bible introduces this whole idea of wholeness as being connected to the word saved.
Yeah.
How many of you love Jesus?
Yes.
How many of you believe that you're forgiven by Him?
Amen.
Yep. But throughout the New Testament, the Bible translators translated both the revelations of wholeness and salvation out of the same single word. And that single word is sozo.
Yeah.
A very powerful word. Literally means this: to be saved and made whole.
Yeah.
Saved from destruction or damage. To be made well, healed, yeah. restored. How many of you want to be made well, healed, restored? To be delivered from the penalties of judgment, so on and so forth. And that's why you find in the Gospels, like passages in Matthew chapter 9 and the similar sort of passage in all the other Gospels, of the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who'd been suffering from bleeding for 12 years, and she pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. How many of you have read that passage before? And the Bible says power flowed out of Jesus and into her. And then Jesus turns to her, and in some translations, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Other translations say, Jesus says to her, "Your faith has healed you." Other translations say, Jesus says to her, "Your faith has made you whole." The reason why it's translated in so many different ways is because Jesus used the word sozo,
yeah.
this very broad, very powerful word. What Jesus came to give that lady and many others in the Gospels is the sozo life. This is what you need to catch. Jesus came and died and rose again for you and for me, so we can have this sozo, this whole life. Can I get a resounding amen? So what does this tell us? Well, it tells us that to be saved or to be born again means so much more than just to be forgiven of our sins. To be forgiven and walking in wholeness, to have this sozo, is the full experience of what Jesus died for us to have. It's to live with everything Jesus died and rose again for you to become. And so our lack of wholeness, our brokenness, the dysfunctions that we carry actually rob us of the sozo life Jesus died for us to have. And for so many of us, and like us, this is, you're going to hear a lot of our journey today, that even though we're saved and know that we're forgiven, for a lot of us, we at times just continue to live life carrying some level of bondage, some level of unforgiveness, some level of resentment or bitterness or offense or rage or confusion or depression, and the list goes on. And for some of us, we just accept that that's just a part of life. Of course, we're all still on the journey. No one's perfect, but we can't just resign ourselves. We shouldn't just resign ourselves that this is just part of who we are, because that is not the sozo life Jesus died and rose again for you to live. And here is what we need to remember, that when we persist in our lack of wholeness, it doesn't only just damage us, but it damages all the poor people that have to put up with us. Hello, come on.
Amen.
Husbands, wives, stop looking at each other right now. But, you know, all of the, when we persist with this lack of wholeness, we actually live this life that Jesus never intended for us to live. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, as a disciple, I don't just want to be forgiven, I want to be whole.
Yeah.
I don't just want to know where my eternal destiny is. I want to experience the sozo life right here and now, because the best me is a whole me. The best dad that I can be for my kids is to be a whole man. Yeah. The best husband that I can be for Chrissy is to be whole.
Amen.
Don't have to say Amen. That so. Don't say that so emphatically.
With gusto. Sorry.
See what I got to put up with?
Wake up.
But the best son, the best brother, the best friend, the best neighbor, the best work colleague, all of those things, the best of me comes from me being whole. Do you understand what I'm saying? You get the best of me as your pastor and your leader as I journey towards wholeness. Yeah. Believe me, you don't want to sit under leadership that is broken and toxic and dysfunctional. Come on, are you out there? The best that I can be for you, for the world that I live in, is to be a whole man.
So true. So true. We understand that the gift of salvation is a free gift from God. We've got that, right? Yep. Out of Ephesians 2, it lays the platform for our theology in this, where it says we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, yeah? It's a free gift from God. It's not of works, so no man can boast. We get that. That platform is laid, but it's not the same with wholeness. It's not wholeness. Yes. This construct of sozo in terms of wholeness is a different thing altogether. If you and I are going to be whole, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work. And that's why today we've called our message,
It's Worth the Work. We practice that.
Too cheesy? Too much? Yeah, I think so.
Too cheesy. Online love it. It's vibes, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Pastor Mel's face palming. She's like, yeah. You know, Ken just mentioned the woman with the issue of blood, you know. She worked for her wholeness. She had to wrestle past the stigma of being unclean to even go into that crowd. She had to push through the crowd to pursue Jesus and wrestle in that place. It took work. But I'm sure that if you asked her the question, she would have said her wholeness was worth the work. She would have said it was worth it. I think it's unfortunate that the Holy Spirit just doesn't come into our life and zap us whole. Like, who would love to just be zapped whole?
Whoa. That's a fairy, not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, no, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the way He works. You know, we have to decide to partner with Him in the wholeness journey. We need to make ourselves willing partners, and it does take work. And every single one of us, we actually have a choice. The decision lies in our hands. You can choose to pursue wholeness, or you can choose not to pursue wholeness. It's up to you. And of course, in that, we still absolutely rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, without His transforming power, we don't get very far. But nonetheless, it still requires this partnership. And without our work, we simply won't experience the true sozo that Jesus died for us to have. So Paul speaks to Timothy. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. And it says this, it says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." Love that. Train yourself to be godly. "For physical training is of some value, but godliness or spiritual training has value for all things in everything." Turn to your neighbor and say everything.
Everything.
In everything and in every way. Turn to your neighbor and say in every way. In every way. In every way. In every way. Amen. I heard that. In every way. Holding promise for both this present life and also in the life to come. Can we listen to the power of these words in 1 Timothy 4? He says, train yourself to be godly. And Paul uses this word, godliness, which comes out of an old English word, which is godlikeness, or to be Christ-like. In other words, have the same character and attitude of Jesus. And we understand about Jesus that He in Himself is whole, yes? And He is complete. And so, and Paul's basically saying to Timothy, look, mate, this is the Australian standard version.
He's Australian Paul. Just old Paul.
Look, mate.
Good old Paul.
Come on. Yeah, okay. Sorry, calm down. He's saying, if you want to be like Jesus, if you want to be whole and complete, if you want to have his same character and attitude, you've got to train for it. You've got to actually do this spiritual training. And he goes on and he said, look, spiritual training is kind of like physical training. Like, you know, an athlete is going to train for that main event, a runner, a fit person's going to run, you know, a strong person's going to lift and these sorts of things. And he's saying there's a similarity. Like, if you want to live godly, you got to do that same sort of work and train for it. It's going to take your focus. It's going to take a level of intention. It's going to take some consistency about you. But there's also different, because where physical training's only going to give you a limited benefit, right? Who's an exerciser here? Who's an exerciser in, you know, Belmont, Port Kennedy? You are. You've done really well lately.
Look how whole she is. It's awesome.
Just a shout out to
Exhibit
my
a.
fit husband. So good. You know, but we know if we exercise, that you stop working out, right? You lose the benefit very quickly. You stop working out, you put the kilos back on very quickly. The point is that physical training only has a limited benefit, not so with this spiritual training. When we work towards a life of wholeness, when we work towards Christ likeness, Paul says it has benefit for everything and in every way, in this life and in the life to come. Like it means that your marriage is going to benefit. When you train like this, your parenting is going to benefit. When you train like this, your workplace relations and your internal life, because it has benefit for everything. Everything. I can't think of anything else that holds that degree of hope and promise. Money doesn't hold that degree of hope and promise. You know, your status and reputation and career path, your looks, all these things, they do not hold that level of hope and promise. But this work towards wholeness and the benefits of Christ's likeness, they are yours to keep. That is yours to have and enjoy for the rest of your life, even into eternity. How amazing is that the promise of Scripture says this: whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's free indeed. It's free completely. The wholeness journey is going to take work, yes, but it's worth the work. We'd love to sit here, wouldn't we, and tell you that it was easy. And tell, you know, maybe then you'd like us more. You'd find the preaching more appealing. But there's really no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to desire the benefit of wholeness without being prepared to put in the work is actually a bit unrealistic. It's kind of like going to the plastic surgeon and asking him to give you a six-pack. You know, he might have a go, but we all know there's something not quite right with that. You know, you want that result, you got to put in some work, buddy. You got to put in some work, but it's worth the work.
It sure is. And for us, our story is that the work of our wholeness journey has predominantly been realized in the framework of marriage. Yep. You know, for us, we don't have an addiction background. We come from relatively stable homes. We're both Christians from quite a young age. But our marriage environment is where the hard work of wholeness was played out. We were married quite young by world standards, really, I guess. And we both moved out of our parents' homes. And then into the first home that we moved in out of and into was really our marriage home. And it was there that, man, I discovered I was not as awesome as I first thought I was. And it was in those early years of the up-close and personal nature of marriage that really exposed a lot of the areas where I was fractured, where the man I thought I was or wanted to be was nowhere the kind of man I was presenting in the day-to-day private place in my own house. And there were areas in my own life, if I were to be honest with you, that just were not whole. And particularly in the first maybe 7-10 years of marriage, I found myself being really negative towards Chrissy, towards the way that she thought, the things that she did. I harbored a lot of resentment and bitterness towards, you know, feeling let down by her at different times. And our fights, we had some humdingers. Our fights would just leave me so bitter, so angry, and I would carry that. And I'll stop ranting now.
Sound like a fun guy.
I was not... Thanks, darling. Lucky I'm whole. But if I'm honest, for a long time, the way that I thought in those early years was, oh, this is as good as it's going to get. Yeah. And it won't get any better than this. This is my lot in life. And if only she would change, it'll be so much better. And I was awesome before she came along. And now look at her. She's caused all of these issues in me, right? That was me.
It's funny because it's true.
It is true. It is true. I give you that.
But, you know, don't...
Pay that.
It wasn't all just him. I must say, it wasn't all just him. I was messed up in my own very special and unique way. You did not want to be married to me in those early days. That was hard work. And I was really, really insecure in my identity. As a young wife, I was... had very unrealistically high expectations of Ken, that it was his job to prop me up all of the time. I was looking to him to prop me up emotionally, to prop me up spiritually in an unhealthy way. I was way too needy in that space. And, you know, I just had a realization that I was actually desperately afraid. I had fear of rejection and fear of failure and fear of all sorts of things going on in my life that would manifest itself in all sorts of horrible ways. And, you know, as if all of that is not bad enough, I was also proud. I was too proud to admit or to even, you know, see that there was anything wrong with me. And I kept on blaming him for all of our issues. So he's blaming me and I'm blaming him. And Lord only knows how we survived it all. Lord only knows how we've made it this far. But well, we do know it's by His grace. Yeah. It's by His grace, you know. And over time, I think both of us came to realize that neither of us were living in the fullness of what Jesus actually died for us to live in. Neither of us. So this long list of issues that we had, negativity and resentment and anger and pride and all those things, I promise you, that is not sozo. Yes. That is not what Jesus had in His mind when He's speaking to us, talking to us about life healed and whole. He was not talking about those things. And we were challenged, I guess, within ourselves and together as a couple to start working towards our wholeness. And in the early days, you know, it's a bit fuzzy. What does that even mean? But we had to start somewhere, right? You've got to start somewhere and take a step. And we've dedicated a lot of our marriage and a lot of even who we are as leaders and church leaders to this topic of wholeness. And we have confirmed the word that just like Paul says, this Christ-likeness, this wholeness has benefit for everything. Like, not just in our marriage, but us as leaders, we're better leaders. You know, internally, I feel so much more confident in my own skin these days by the grace of God and walk in a confidence and affirmation of my Heavenly Father. Benefit for everything, so much so that we can confidently say it's worth the work.
Yes.
You know, was it hard at times? 100%. Is it hard still at times? 100%, like we nearly fought preparing this message.
Don't tell them that. You were doing good up until then. That secret stays with us.
No, it doesn't.
And the online church,
it's with
and
everyone.
All the other campuses.
Yeah, that's an exercise in marital kind of ability all in itself, preparing a sermon together. But anyhow, do we regret the work? Never. Yeah. Not for a minute. In fact, I think it's the best thing that we've ever done. And you might be convinced in your heart, okay, I'm convinced it's worth the work. But you might have a question in your heart that says, well, what kind of work do I need to do? Like, what does this work actually look like? And I would say a necessary place to start, a fundamental place to start is the ability to be able to look at yourself. Because it's in acknowledging a lack of wholeness within you. That's the very first step to seeing change come into those areas. There has to be an acknowledgement. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture out of the book of James that I believe sheds some light on this area of sort of looking at yourself. And it says in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but actually doing it, it's this one that will be blessed in what they do." So what's James saying here, and what does it have to do with wholeness? Well, the first thing that we have to realize is that James is majoring in this passage on the Word of God, his Bible. And our understanding of God's Word is that it is our benchmark, yeah? It's our absolute standard for life and for living. You can think about it like this. If Christ's likeness is the destination, then the Word of God is the roadmap on how to get there. It's the roadmap. And without the Word, ask yourself the question, well, what even is my framework for wholeness? Without the Word, what does wholeness look like? Do we make it up for ourselves? No, of course we don't. We need to remember always that the Word of God, as disciples of Christ, it's the Word that is the standard by which we measure ourselves. And here James takes the Word of God and he kind of likens it to a mirror. There's this mirror concept embedded in this passage where he says, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. In other words, he's trying to convey to us the Word is like something we look into. And when we look into the Word, we're supposed to see a reflection looking back and reflecting ourselves. We look into it and it shows us ourselves. And in life, if we're going to do this work towards wholeness, we have to be people who are committed to constantly looking and gazing into the mirror of God's Word. It is our benchmark. It is the standard. The problem is a lot of us don't spend long enough looking into the mirror of God's Word. In fact, in life, we have all kinds of wrong mirrors that we're more inclined to spend time looking into. You think about the carnival with crazy mirrors, and they're those, you know, a long hallway of crazy mirrors, and they'll throw you a distorted image of yourself
back at you. We like the ones that make us look skinny, right?
Skinny, we like those ones. But it's similar. In the world, there's a lot of wrong mirrors that will very happily throw you back a distorted image of yourself. Think about the mirror of your own understanding. When you're constantly looking to that, it might show you that you're very justified in holding on to that lack of forgiveness. What about the mirror of your friendship circles and the opinions of the people in the office? If you're looking to them constantly, they might completely affirm you in holding on to that offense. And you're justified in holding on, bearing that grudge. You're right, you should do that. You know, the mirror of Google. We all go to the mirror of Google. You know, if we look to the mirror of Google, it might tell us that we're completely affirmed to continue on in that sin, just as long as it doesn't, you know, hurt. It's getting real quiet here. Might be getting quiet, Belmont, Port Kennedy too. You know, when all of these mirrors are just examples. They're examples, they're mirrors of worldly wisdom. But here's the thing, listen up. They don't have the power to transform your life. They don't have the power to make you whole. The only mirror that God has designed for us to look into in the area of our lives and relationships and standard for living is His Word. It's our guide to sozo, life healed and whole.
So good. Incredible teaching.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, secondly, the work then towards wholeness also looks like being honest with what the mirror tells you about you. Being honest with what the mirror tells you about you. James says that when you look into the mirror of the Word, you actually start to see yourself. And the thing about the Bible is that it's the only book, when you read it, it actually reads you.
Yes.
How many of you sense that?
Yeah.
When you read the Bible, it actually ends up reading you. So the mirror of the Word shows us areas in our lives that are not aligned with the person God created us to be. Parts of our hearts or our souls, maybe that are not living in the freedom that Jesus died for us to have. And to see it in the Word, but to not be honest about those areas in our lives that need to change or be healed or restored or removed out of our lives would be like looking into the mirror and then walking away, not doing anything about what you've seen in your reflection. Makes sense to you? Like, you know, bedhead, which I have got a great experience in, or whatever it is, like walking away and going, I'm not going to do anything about it. It's like me checking, you know, my teeth in the mirror and seeing this whopping big piece of kale stuck between my teeth and walking away, not dealing with it. Going out in the community looking like a pirate or a Collingwood supporter. For those of you online and around the world, that is like a team that no one here in where I live supports, really. But here's where the work started for me, right? Reading passages like Ephesians 4, where Paul says, if there's bitterness or resentment, do away with those things. Proverbs 18:21 that talks about life and death is in the power of the tongue, and allowing that to really confront the way that I talk to Chrissy, the kind of words I used, those absolutes, those negative, critical things that I said about our marriage or our relationship or people, and the kind of atmospheres they created in our home, and allowing those things to confront me and tell me about me. And in essence, what James is saying in the mirror analogy is that when we look at ourselves and reflect it against the standard of God's word, we can but come to one conclusion. We are the ones that need to change, not the word of God. Come on, are you out there? And so the work for me looked like allowing these truths, whatever it is that God is revealing, to confront areas of resentment, confront areas of bitterness, allowing myself to examine myself. And so the work for me was learning to stop justifying my behavior. Learning to stop dismissing it away as, that's only in my life at the moment because she's like that. She needs to change before, and blaming other people. I had to own my own brokenness. That is for me where the work started. The responsibility of getting whole was no one else's but my own. Because we all love to listen to sermons. Some of you online, you're listening to the sermon and you're thinking, I'm going to send the link of the sermon to Karen because Karen really needs to hear this sermon. My mother-in-law, Susan, because we all know a Susan. Susan needs to hear this. Wrong. The responsibility of change, of transformation, of getting whole sits with us and us alone, right? We need to own our own need to be whole. Some of you are thinking, oh, PK, you have no idea what my husband's like. Wrong mirror. Some of you think you have no idea what it's like to work with our work colleague. Pa-pow, wrong mirror. The responsibility of working towards wholeness rests with you and you alone. But I promise you, this is the hope. It's worth the work.
Amen. It's hard to be honest with yourself, right? But it is so worth the work. You know, it's the pathway into wholeness, pathway into freedom. And if we're going to continue on in this work towards wholeness, we're going to have to be people who apply the word.
Yeah.
Who apply the word. We need to actually let the word of God go to work in our lives. Let it go to work in the deep parts of us. You know, James says this in the passage we just read. He says, if you only hear the word but don't do the word, you're deceiving yourself. Yes. It's hard, you know, but it's true. If you know it, but you aren't partnering with the Holy Spirit to see it performed in you and applying it, you're actually fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself. And even worse still, I think you're robbing yourself of sozo. You're robbing yourself of that pathway to wholeness. James said it's the one who applies the word. This one will be blessed in what they do. The application of the word is where it's at, has blessing for your marriage, has blessing for your parenting, has blessing for every sphere of your life. Remember, Jesus himself said, it's the one who hears my words and puts them into practice. This is the wise man who builds his house on the rock. This application is the stable foundation where you can withstand the storms of life. It's in the application that we come into wholeness. But if we're honest, the hearing is the easy part. The application is the hard part. You know, we all know it's easy to hear a good word. We love good word. We're like, preacher, brother. We're dropping fire emojis into the comment section. You know, fire, fire, fire. Yeah. Punch emoji and everything. Praise hands. The whole thing. Go online. Go online. It's easy to hear the word. Much harder to do the word. Think about it like this, you know, hearing a word on forgiveness. You know, it's easy enough to hear, forgive 70 times 7. It can go in, that's no problem, you know. Forgive one another from the heart. Relatively easy, but when you are confronted with the one who has actually offended you, when you're wrestling with the pain and the burden of the weight of the offense, and you're confronted with the need to release, like really release, like actually do the work of forgiveness, that's when we all know application is a lot harder than hearing. It's work, but it's worth the work because it's the pathway to sozo. It's the pathway to your freedom. It's the pathway to you coming into wholeness and you experiencing all that Jesus has died for you to have. We want you to feel the grace of God land on you after hearing this sermon today. We don't want you to walk away from this message thinking that it's all about doing it in your own strength. Please don't take that away, you know, that you need to go and strive as if you could become whole by your own efforts. When Paul talked about training for godliness and when James talked about making application of the word, they understood that it's you in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And as you present you before your Father, willing, open-hearted, the Holy Spirit's going to come and do the work of transformation in you. He does it in you. It's like this, when you do your work, the Holy Spirit will do His work. No, when you do your work, He'll do His work. And His work is supernatural. His work is abundant. His work is miraculous. He's never-ending in His grace. There's that mystery of transformation that takes place. We don't necessarily know how, but when we're open, He does it in us and performs it in us, and it's worth the work.
It's so good. Yeah. So good. Musicians, you can join us. And so we're so passionate about this because I genuinely feel that Jesus has actually set us up to win in this area. Yeah. If you think about what He's given us, He's given us the written word, which reveals to us the sozo life that Jesus died and rose again for us to have. But He's also revealed Himself to us as the living word. And when we open up our hearts to the transforming, restorative, healing power of Jesus and His word, we actually become more and more of the church that Jesus died and rose again for us to become. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says this, Christ loved the church, verse 25, and gave Himself up for her, verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So the Ephesians 5 picture, the church that Jesus wants to return for is a sozo church, is a whole church. And as your leaders, we're passionate about presenting you as a whole church to Jesus. That makes sense to you guys? You know, there's no point being a church forgiven of our sins, but still bound up, of the world never seeing the best of us. Hello? Still struggling with stuff and dragging our feet, never fulfilling the mandate that God has placed on our lives, trying to barely manage and cope with grief and sadness and addiction and offense and stifled in our own rejection, harboring unforgiveness. Church, you become the best version of you when you allow Jesus and His word to wash over you to make you whole. And it's going to require work, yes. It's going to require surrender, absolutely. It's going to require honesty, absolutely. But it's worth the work. It's worth the work. Partner with the grace of God. The best version of you is waiting on the other side of your journey to wholeness. Is that helpful to you guys? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Everyone that's online and in all our campuses, would you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet right now. Wonderful. Come on, put your phones away and your notebooks. Just close your eyes right across this room. The presence of God is here. I just want to take a moment right now, and if you're watching online and all the other campuses as well, maybe for some of you in this journey of wholeness, you've resigned yourself to some things that you should have never resigned yourself to believe. And firstly is that it's not going to get any better. You'll always have to deal with those things. It'll always be a part of your life. That's how you're made. That issue that you're carrying, that hurt, that'll always be a part of you. You can hide it. You can manage it. Today is the day where you make a decision that you're going to partner with the Holy Spirit to get whole. Come on, can I get a resounding amen? And maybe some of you here today, and COVID, the 2020 year has created all kinds of disappointments, all kinds of stuff that you've accumulated throughout the year. The year hasn't turned out the way that you thought it would, and the stuff that you're carrying on the inside. My prayer for us all today, whether you're watching online or in campus today, is that we get to Christmas be more whole than we were at the start of this year. Come on. And maybe for some of you here, the world hasn't actually seen the best of you. Through different circumstances, marital issues, relational issues, work issues, just the bumping up against other people, it's caused you to not be the best you.
And at times you feel like there's so much more that God could do in your life. There's so much more that He could entrust you with. There's so much more expression of the anointing and the sense of God that He could be putting into your hands. But if you were to be honest with yourself and look and have a good mirror conversation, you would know that there are some things that are yet to be healed, things that are yet to be restored, things that are yet to be properly dealt with. And today, environments like these are safe places for you to take those steps to partner with God, because it's worth the work. I wish that I had made some decisions to take steps forward, to be healed, to confront some things earlier on in my life, earlier on in our marriage, earlier on in my leadership life. But better late than never. And so today, regardless of where you're at, which campus you're watching this from or online, I want you to respond to this. If you're saying, Lord, I want to get on this journey of wholeness and I want to do the work because it's worth it. I want to finally confront some things. And this is just the beginning conversation of a season that we're walking into as a church. But today, you are drawing a line in the sand and saying, God, I want to be known as a whole woman. I want to be known as a whole man. I want to leave a legacy of wholeness to people that know me. Today, there's nothing magical or mythical about moving geographical locations. It is just a physical response to you, for you to say, God, I'm taking the steps to partner with you today. And so in every campus today, why don't you take steps out of your seat and come and fill the altars and begin to worship with us. Our prayer team is going to stand with you as we begin to sing right now. We're going to lead all your worship teams across all campuses, going to lead you right now. Come on, take a step out of your seat. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.